Time to talk some Pac-12 football. Our guest has done it all. High-level player, all-conference academics at Washington, master's degree in business from South Florida, coach, a radio host, a TV analyst. Follow him on Twitter. The handle is at Coach N. Burton. Mr. Burton, been a while. How are things with you?
Doing well, doing well. Yeah, you forgot dog walker, babysitter, laundry, and also do landscaping if anybody's interested.
Man, must be a pain in the neck to update your resume.
I don't think I get much credit for the last couple of them, but, you know, whatever.
No, we're dog people. I've got three dogs. Trust me, they appreciate it. I'm with you there. You know, I've been doing this for 25 years, but it's always been afternoon drive time. I know it's been a couple of years you've been doing mornings on Rip City Radio. Was that a natural transition? Are you a morning person?
Oh, my God, no. Like, it would be crazy. No, no. When I was a head coach, I purposely had, like, our first meeting was at, like, 8:30 because I had no chance to get in the office before 7. So, no. This has been a new experience, but it's been a good one. I mean, shoot, man, I'll be honest with you. By the time it's 10 o'clock and, you know, there's people heading to work, heading to the studio and doing whatever they're doing, I'm basically headed home. So, yeah, it can be a struggle to wake up at 4, but it's also a pretty good trade-off.
Yeah, it's not a bad gig. So last Saturday here in town, a team who'd been hearing about their non-conference schedule plays Stanford, who'd been playing pretty well, especially on defense, and Oregon's on the brink of running Stanford out of Autzen Stadium. Then everything that could go wrong did. The coach in you, how do you address the team after to make sure, yeah, it stings, but this cannot carry over any further?
Yeah, you know, we had Mike Bellotti on our show, and I think he had a great quote, was, listen, we understand things didn't go the way we wanted, but whatever you do, don't let Stanford beat you twice. And so, you know, if you start to wallow and feel bad and all those things, you're basically going to let them beat you a second time. So you got to move on. You have to really have the ability, because I think great things are still ahead for that team, and that's how I would address it and say, listen, if we do what we're capable of doing, you never know what may happen when the chips fall. And this loss will not keep us from where we want to go if we take care of business and play to our best potential and finish games in the future.
So the positives, I mean, obviously you want to look at some of the negatives and correct them on film, but again, as a coach, you could look at a Cardinal defense that had not even allowed 350 yards in any game. Oregon puts up 525. So you would pick out a lot of the good that happened.
Yeah, I wouldn't even focus on the stats. I mean, stats are, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble doing it that way. What I would more focus on is the way they played. I mean, they were so physical, and it is not the type of Oregon football that we have been used to seeing. I mean, we're used to seeing blitzing style, fast-paced, guys going in 8 billion directions, but it was also a little bit finesse. These guys lined up and mashed people in the face, and that was unique. And so, you know, it seems like there's added substance to the style, and I think those are things you can definitely hang your hat on. If they continue to do that type of thing and have that type of play and then increase, you know, and then still have the athletes that they're bringing in, but they're playing with power, it is a scary proposition for the fan, for the opposing teams that they're playing every week.
Talk with Nigel Olson, Rip City Radio, Pac-12 Network, and more. Justin Herbert, of course, this is a conference that just had two quarterbacks go in the top 10 of the draft. This was Justin's biggest moment. He had a heck of a night. The people you talk with, your observations, how good is this young guy who's right from across the river here in Eugene?
Well, I had a conversation with my barber today, and he said that he believes that Justin Herbert is overrated.
Okay.
And I told him, I said, well, you know what? I appreciate your opinion when it comes to fades and lineups. When it comes to football, you just leave that to me because you clearly don't know what you're talking about.
That's classic.
So, I mean, I'm going to tell you right now, that dude is special. Mike Bellotti also told us that he believes Justin Herbert is the most talented passer to ever, ever come out of the University of Oregon.
Whoa.
And then I was like, wait, hold on. I go, now, there's guys who are in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I mean, Ian Fouts is in the Hall of Fame. Norm Van Brocklin. I mean, there's some. He goes, I don't care who you bring up. He is the most talented passer ever to come out of this place. And so, look, and I think I know more ball than my barber does, but I might say that Mike Bellotti knows more about Oregon football than I do.
Classic. So Stanford plays a big game. They're at Notre Dame, and this has become a great rivalry. KJ Costello, some inconsistencies, but he knows how to use those big, strong receivers. We know Bryce Love is special. The defense is experienced. What pops about this Cardinal team that you like when you watch them?
I mean, I like everything about them. I mean, they are, one, the thing that you really found out about them is the type of guts they have to be able to come back on the road in Eugene, which I've coached and played in Notre Dame Stadium and obviously in Eugene, and the atmosphere there at Austin makes Notre Dame feel like a snooze fest. So when you put in the fact that KJ Costello and what he's been able to do, you got those three wide receivers who are all 6'3" and taller. The way that they've been playing defense, the way that they are a balanced football team that can run the ball down your throat. They can hit you with the quick strike if you allow it. I really think all three of those teams still have a legitimate chance to make the college football playoff if things bounce in their direction.
All right, Notre Dame, were you sophomore you went there? I think I was looking at your record.
Yeah, that my sophomore year we went there. We were, I don't know what we were ranked. We ended up 9-2, and that was one of the two. And it was a bad two. The only other game we lost that entire season was to Jake the Snake at Arizona State.
ASU, yeah.
And we couldn't hit a field goal to save our life. But, we had a good team. And look, Notre Dame had some great teams. They have another great team right now. But when you talk about atmosphere, the way that the fans get into it, how loud it is, you get wrapped up in the nostalgia when you're there. But it's nothing like Austin.
Oregon's opponent this week is their first road game, Cal. A couple of grinders at home against North Carolina and BYU. Then they beat an FCS team. They made a change at quarterback. They also had a great start last year but struggled in league. You look at this team, what are you liking about these Bears year two under Justin Wilcox?
Yeah, this is different. This isn't last year. I think people were pleasantly surprised by what they saw, and Justin had them on the verge of a bowl game. If this team doesn't make a bowl game, something went horribly wrong. They play defense like somebody owes them money. They're getting good, consistent quarterback play from multiple guys. They're able to run the ball. They're physical. They had an injury that's going to set them back. But I think, and I've been saying this all week, I think if Oregon had won, if they had beaten Stanford, especially in the fashion in which they beat Stanford, last year, Washington State beat USC and physically got after them. And they felt good about themselves. They went down to Berkeley and got the brakes beat off them. And I think that would have happened to Oregon had they beaten Stanford that way. I think what happens after a loss like that is I think Oregon's going to do a nice job of rallying the troops and getting back focused and realize that, they're pretty good. But they got to finish games. And I think it's one of those hard lessons that will help them in the future. And I can see them coming out of this thing much differently than Washington State came out of it last year.
Couple final thoughts for Nigel Burton. Oregon State last year, it just got away and turned into a misery. Jonathan Smith took the reins, who, of course, did great work at your alma mater. They suffered a gut-punch loss, almost came back to beat Nevada. And last week, they give up 600 yards and only had 240 themselves. What are you seeing that might give Beav fans some hope this will turn around? Or are you telling them you better be patient, this is going to be a process?
I'd be patient. I mean, it's the schedule is just completely unfair. I mean, it's like Johnny gets the job, and John was a GA when I coached at Oregon State. So it's like, and I played against John, and he's a great mind. But you know, you open up and it's like, hey, yeah, congratulations on the job. Your first game's at Ohio State.
Wow.
And you're like, wait, what? And then, you know, you get the thing going and you start Pac-12 play the way they did against Arizona. Now you go to Arizona State, they haven't won since 1972 or six. They haven't won since 69 there. And then you come back home and you got to go to Colorado. You got to go to, I believe, Cal. And then you still got to deal with Stanford, USC, Washington, and Oregon.
Their last four games.
Like, it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't know. I think at this point, and I don't want to talk back because I love John, and I think what he's going to do there is going to be amazing. And they might sneak up on a team or two. But I think they're going to really feel good about getting a Thanksgiving and getting this thing rolling with another recruiting class.
Yeah, probably. Lastly, Washington, you know, they had that knockdown dragout against Auburn. I was impressed they went into Utah and kind of out-physicaled that team. Last week got interesting, but, you know, they really limited ASU offensively. You know, Trey Adams out for the year at left tackle. I love their defense. How do you like their shot to contend, not only for the North and the conference, but maybe the whole deal?
Yeah, I think they've had a bunch of ugly games. They haven't really had a game where they've put it all together just yet, and they're still winning. And they still, I mean, they lose basically a road game. Auburn, Atlanta's like 100-something miles from Auburn. So for everybody who was there, it was like 95% Auburn fans. So it was a road game. And, you know, for them to do what they've done is pretty impressive. There is not a better secondary in the country. I mean, you look at what they've done already this season. I mean, N'Keal Harry is the number one overall NFL prospect at wide receiver. He had four catches for 5 yards. they hit you. Just ask Britton Covey at Utah. I mean, they are it's amazing to watch them play. I think if they've got to improve their offensive and defensive line play, they got to get pressure on the quarterback without blitzing. They've got to make sure they communicate and not have some of the breakdowns that they had against Utah. And Jake Brown has got to be more consistent. If they get those things done, that's a college football playoff team. The thing that's really been surprisingly, not even surprising, but has really been really nice is the question mark was at wide receiver, and they've got some young studs who are going to create problems for people because they got speedsters, they got 6'4 guys, they got the itty-bitty scat guys. I mean, they've got a range of guys who are playmakers. And so if Jake will just allow them to do that, and stop forcing things and just let those guys do their thing. People better watch out.
Yeah, that Ty Jones, that kid is a beast.
You got Ty Jones, you got Aaron Fuller, you got Quentin Pounds, you got Chico McClatcher. I mean, they're about five deep in guys who start anywhere and can all make plays. So it's unique. And then, oh yeah, they got this guy Myles Gaskin. He's pretty good.
Yeah, believe me, sitting here, every time I sing their praises, I get yelled at, but I'm getting used to it. But, folks, he's Nigel Burton of the Pac-12 Network, Rip City Radio in Portland on Twitter. Use the handle at Coach N. Burton. Nigel, thank you so much for your time. Really means a lot. You have yourself a great weekend, and I look forward to catching up later in the season.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right, take it easy.